हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 56, chapter 78. Lord Balaram said, because this fool, born from an improperly mixed marriage, sits above all these brahmanas and even above me, the protector of religion, he deserves to die. Although he is a disciple of the divine sage Vyas and has thoroughly learned many scriptures from him, including the law books of religious duties and the epic histories and Puranas, all this study has not produced good qualities in him. Rather, his study of the scriptures is like an actor studying his part, for he is not self-controlled or humble, and vainly presumes himself a scholarly authority, though he has failed to conquer his own mind. Footnote 25. Oh, so we read 25 before. Okay. Okay. Yes, so because of an ancient offense, he could not control his mind, thus he could not control his senses, therefore his learning was useless. Right? So learning means it has to be applied with qualities to get an appropriate result. The idea that it just, no, it's the mechanics of it, learning should give you the mechanical ability to do things, and therefore you get results. That's not actually real learning. That's not the learning here, not among sages. You know, does that make sense? Maybe among Shudras, but not among sages. So, the idea being is that from knowledge you should elevate yourself. Because what happens means, if we look at the universal principles, you have jnana, shakti. From that, then you'll have kriya, you'll have action. Which means with appropriate mentality, mood, and understanding of the results. Then that will please Krishna. So here, it's not about pleasing Krishna, because he's displeasing Lord Balaram. And so, and he's not performing the duties that should be done by someone who has this knowledge. Does that make sense? So he says then, therefore, it's like a actor. They study their part, they play the part very well, but the person themselves may have very bad character. Like we say, there's a very great actor, and they have really bad character. They're very proud, don't get along with anybody. They're really annoying to work with. They can't maintain a marriage. They squander their money, all this and that. Would we be surprised?
No.
No, we think that's pretty standard. Right? So we would. So that's Balaram's point. Is this just acting? So he knows all these things. He knows his lines, so he can speak the scriptures and speak them well and present it well, but he doesn't have the character to back it up. Therefore, then, even though he knows the Shastras, he hasn't followed them. That means he's only heard the Shastras. He doesn't contemplate, he doesn't try to practice as such. Yes?
For example, we know Shastra to some extent, but there, because of the conditioned nature, we also have so many flaws in the character.
Yes, but do we feel that's okay?
No.
So then we'll move forward. He thinks it's okay.
Sometimes we also feel it's okay.
Yeah, and then Balaram takes care of us. Yes, and then you wonder why do bad things happen to such fabulous people? Right,
you know? Good things.
Yeah. The very purpose of my descent in this world is to kill such hypocrites who pretend to be religious. Indeed, they are the most sinful rascals, right? Because they do bad things and then common people see this and then follow. Right? Because they think that they're doing it right. It's another thing if someone makes mistakes and knows it's not right, so it's not an example to the world. So people can't say, oh, well, he did it. Because they're trying to correct it. They're trying to adjust it. Is that, yeah.
Yes. So, amongst us or us, we are like this, like Ramaharshana.
It means that that aspect may be one of the impurities that's there within the living entity, but he could say he's the personification of it. So I don't think we can say we have that, you know, so we've studied all the scriptures that he studied and does such a great job of presenting it that all these sages that are at Naimisharanya are having him sit and speak. But the principle is just like all these different demons and that, they all represent various flaws in the character. And which it gets in the way of devotional service. So devotional service then removes those.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So then in this case it's all right to call him hypocrite and
Balaram can call him whatever he likes. Like that. We point out that that's what was being manifest at this moment. It may be the other times he's speaking, he's doing nicely. Because then his actual learning is not put under the test. So as far as being a material scholar goes, then he's very qualified, you could say. But the whole purpose of scripture is devotional service. And so as long as the Lord didn't show up, he's doing a great job. But once the Lord shows up, then his actual knowledge is being put to the test. Right? Then we see as he fails that test, you know, with flying colors. Right? He wins the going to be killed by Akusa grass, you know, by Balaram award. You know, so that's the whole thing. So that doesn't mean that, oh, anything he spoke is all useless. No, he does that nicely. Just like your plumber. Okay, he comes in, he fixes the pipes, and that's great. As long as it's just plumbing. But now if it, in the process, somehow another, a priest walks into the house or something like that, and now he deals badly with the priest, now it's a different point. So his, how good he is at plumbing doesn't count. You know, in other words, he knows something, he's expert at something, he should appreciate others who have specialization themselves. You know what I'm saying? And so here's someone who does, and he doesn't appreciate that. Or there's an electrician, and he harasses the electrician. So it just means the character is lacking. So as a person, it's a waste of time. Having the knowledge of a plumber and doing that, he does a great job. But the point is one's in human life to be human. Not to be, skilled in a particular branch of knowledge. Right? Because otherwise the animals can do that. Right? Just like someone, let's say, they want to be able to build houses properly. Like that. Does that make sense? Design them, do the whole thing. How many years of school do they have to go to be able to do that? Then their work, and then their this, and then they can do these fancy, amazing kind of things. You know, like that paper bag building, you know, at the University of, you know, in Sydney or something like that. You know, is that accept? But the point is he had to go to school, and the guy's probably, who knows, in his 50s or 60s, and now he can do stuff, and now it's world-renowned. You know, an animal can make a house out of a bag with, you know, with no education. They just know how to do it. So that's the whole point, is they're great. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. They can do these things. So the animals already have these knowledge and skills that we're wanting. But that's for animal life. That's all the farther it gets. Human life means now you can understand God consciousness. So if you can have knowledge and skills and God consciousness, great. But if you can't, then have God consciousness. Because at least you perfect human life. You know, you can say, well, what's the use? And you have no money, no facility. But point is if you have all those and they're not God conscious, then it doesn't continue. So it's a waste. It's foolish. So, yes.
I have difficulty to understand. Now, Balaram explains this basically, Ramaharshan has zero realization in God consciousness.
Yes.
And we advise to hear from people who are God conscious, or
right,
realized.
Right.
But then what would be the benefit of everybody hearing from him if he doesn't go through the test? The test is there and he fails.
Means it's not that the sages haven't gotten benefit from his discussions. Just he hasn't gotten any benefit. You know, it's like it says on the processes that Parikshit Maharaj became perfect by hearing, Sukadev by speaking.
Right.
So he's speaking, he's not becoming perfect, but his son is. Oh, excuse me, his son is the one he's speaking about, Sukadev. So the point is that others may get benefit, but you don't get benefit. Because the point is parampara is there. So the words are touched by that potency, whether they're taking advantage of that. Because it's not that they're doing the service. They're the medium for that service. So if you have the right attitude, then that has that effect, it has all those kind of things. So let's say he technically knows how to speak and do all those things and quote from Shastra and use the logical presentation. So then he can be a good medium for presenting the scriptures to the sages. Because he's heard in parampara.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem is he's not himself, due to pride, taking advantage of that. He thinks that his skill in that is the perfection. So at some point it'll be a problem. So it's not a difficulty if someone has heard from the right source, they deliver it in the proper way and everything like that. That's good. Though in other things that they have a weakness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, the person can do that service nicely. But in other things, there may be a weakness. You know, okay, he's a great cook, he does everything very clean and all that, but, you know, you see him at night at 11 o'clock still chanting his rounds. You know, so, but the point is if he has a strength in one area, a weakness in another. You know, someone else that chant their rounds, they're in the temple, they do all the things, they're fabulous like that, but then when it comes to prasad, they're a terror. You know? So like that, you have all these things is that someone may have a development in one area, but a weakness in another. That's why there's association. But in here, then his pride is so great. So then how do you humble the pride?
But usually there are two points in this that devotees bring out. Not only that if the person is like that, then his presentation might be affected by this. And that's why we are advised not to listen from people with such attitude. If
means, but the point is he showing the attitude when he's speaking? Mm-hmm. We don't see it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's that when it comes outside of that, in other aspects of etiquette and behavior, that's where we see it.
Okay.
So, but what they're talking about is during the speaking, there's all this. Then yes, then mm-hmm. you. That's why God made the necessity to go to bathrooms.
because we can say, for example, kirtaniyas. You know, they have attitude, but they're still chanting.
As long as during the kirtan, but then the kirtan, is it being purely presented? Or is the attitude during the kirtan?
Who knows?
No, but it's a matter you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you see there's an absorption, then that's nice. It's not a problem.
Okay, so
it's a matter when the it doesn't matter who it is. If the attitude is there, let's say that he's a good manager, but then one day he has all this attitude, it'll be a problem that day. But the other days, they'll be fine. So it's when there's a problem, that's when it's adjusted. So here with Ramaharsha, his problem is right now with Balaram, and so it'll be adjusted right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll become completely purified and all that. So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. That Balaram chastises him, he comes, you know, comes with a liberated platform, so all those impurities are removed. You know, so we just have to remember is that we may not be like Balaram. So you can remove someone from office by a blade of kusa grass, then, you know, go for it.
Okay. One more thing we can see that by this, we can learn the lesson that Balaram doesn't tolerate these qualities.
But it's by his grace they go away. So if we surrender to him, then he's the most merciful. Because, you see, here's the origin of that, Asutosh aspect. easily pleased, easily angered.
Okay.
Because it's from him, down the expansions, you'll see it manifest in Shiva. Because he's where that origin of that mood is there. Otherwise, in Krishna, it's perfect, the perfect blended of all these things. Balaram means that it's, you can say, the Kriya and Jnana Shakti aspects of Krishna, the Lord of that. Well, Krishna is the Lord of the Icha. Does that make sense? So that makes the distinction between where the emphasis is. So when you're dealing there with the Hladini Shakti, then it's in its perfect balance. Right? Because then it's about the feminine nature. Right? But when you're dealing with Jnana and Kriya, then it's more you have that aspect of the masculine. Within that context, you'll have masculine and feminine. You know, it's just like you have dogs. They'll all bark, they'll all slobber, they'll all have fleas, and they'll all rip your leg off. But if you look, you can tell the difference between the attitude and behavior of a feminine dog and a masculine dog. Yeah, so that's the principle. You can see, although it always is there. That's the point. The cause and the effect is always there. Because Krishna has all these things. He has the masculine effect. You'll always see that. So with Balaram, then you see that there is the inherent quality of that. So that's where it comes from. Does that make sense? Because he can function in that masculine principle. Right? If you have to function in consideration of the feminine principle, you can't really do that. Right? Then the feminine principle takes that. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
Okay, just one. So masculine is punishing, and feminine is like taking, including like forgiveness, that Ashutosh principle. Easily pleased is?
No, it's saying it's a masculine principle, but we're saying is that when you're dealing with women, then it has to be that the women are the central point. So they're the ones that can be easily pleased or displeased, and the masculine then is the support of that.
Okay.
But that's being done because that then, how you say, supports the nature of the masculine.
Each one is.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You can't separate them, but you can tell the difference.
Yes.
Yeah. Can we say that because the words themselves, the meaning of the words themselves, like Icha and Jnana and
Kriya,
both are masculine, but Icha is feminine?
No. We're just saying is as you divide the things, then you can get all these different things out of them. Because as you get into those things, then they'll have their masculine and feminine within them.
Okay.
It's just how you deal. So it's just a matter of the particular perspective you're looking at it from at the point, then you can always see the two. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, he may offend the brahmanas and such, but how can you, the Lord, who are supposed to be without anger and pride, kill him? I appear in this world with this purpose. Those devoid of dharma are the most sinful. They deserve to be killed by me, showing my own possession of dharma. Right? So dharma is his, so they're misapplying dharma, so therefore then it's corrected. So here you see the masculine, you know, then supporting the feminine. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, Balaram speaks in the singular because he is non-different from Krishna, or thinking that Krishna was too soft, he spoke only for himself. I cannot tolerate this. Dharma dvajainaha refers to those who were the symbols of great persons but are not qualified to do so. Right, so those who have the symbols of greatness but don't act in that great capacity, then that's what Balaram's talking about. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, after seeing the deficiency of realization in Roma Harshana Sutta, Lord Balaram decided to chastise him for being puffed up. That's the point. He's not that he's a sutta or that he's delivering classes because he's a sutta, it's because he's puffed up. Right? He's in the position of giving the class, but he's not in a position to judge positions on Varnashram solely, since his position in Varnashram is weak. And so he's used that and then applied that, which is just Varnashram, on a transcendental principle where it's talking about the living entities and the Lord. So he's really misapplying. That's why he says he doesn't understand what he's talking about. He may know the histories very well, but he doesn't know how to apply them spiritually. That's why he's not the one speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, then when you heard the classes, it's all about application, because that's the main aim. So the audience, when they hear from Rupa Krishna Sutta, what is the benefit of, what benefit they will get in terms of application, because he himself is not applying in his mind.
Didn't we discuss that?
But
you can't connect the dots?
No, I connected. How can he be qualified, to sit on this position actually?
But then who's qualified? If you really want to get into this, see, this is the point, this is the same point we're making. Ramaharshan is judging that he's in a brahminical position and Balaram's a kshatriya, so he doesn't have to stand up. But what's our background? Right? So how are we judging? Speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, is it the natural birthright of our, ourselves that we would be speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? Right? If you have a doubt, look it up in Manu. And where would we be situated? Right? So then on that platform, we have to be very careful. Because then we're looking at knowledge and skill is everything. This person has the knowledge and skill, but now it's about the character. But for ourselves, it doesn't matter about the character because we don't have to have that fire. You know what I'm saying? So all that's happening here is that whichever way creates a, something to talk about, some gossip, then that's the platform we're taking. So they're first of all saying, I'm advanced because of my knowledge and skill, but he is not advanced because of his knowledge and skill. Because I have, with my knowledge and skill, have found a fault in his knowledge and skill. Therefore, so we have to be very, very careful. So here it's because he's puffed up. And that's the basis of this whole conversation, is people being puffed up. Either that they're superior or I'm superior, like that. I'm superior, so I should be teaching everybody. No, I'm superior because I found a fault and he should be removed from his position. But both of them are false ego. So that's the problem.
So,
it seems that it is eternal problem.
It's an eternal problem. Because what is pride from? Pride means it's a false ego. What's the false ego? I'm the controller and enjoyer. So that's why we mentioned before is that many times it talks about the living entities being in ignorance. It's not talking about the modes of nature. It's talking about they're in ignorance about their relationship with the Lord. Like the Jnana Shakti means your relationship with the Lord. You drop out of that, not seeing things in relationship to the Lord. You're working on the Ajnana Shakti. Right? Or Avidya. So that's already there before creation. And then the creation is based on that. And then you have a variety within that of the modes of nature. Right? But it's being applied in ignorance, so it's not progressive. It means it may be materially progressive, but it's not spiritually progressive. So it's only when it's pure goodness that's spiritually progressive. Because then we're using the modes just for pleasing Krishna. Like that. There's no ignorance. We have the knowledge and relationship with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, after seeing the deficiency of realization in Ramaharshana Sutta, Lord Balaram decided to chastise him for being puffed up. Lord Balaram therefore said, this man is liable to be awarded the death punishment because although he has the good qualification of being a disciple of Lord Vyasadeva, and although he has studied all the Vedic literatures from this exalted personality, right? So it means this parampara, he's learned the knowledge, he's learned it properly. He was not submissive to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the purpose of all the knowledge given by Vyasadeva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, a person who is actually a brahmana and is very learned must automatically become very gentle also. But although Rama Harshana Sutta was very learned and had been given the chance to become a brahman, he did not become gentle. From this, we can understand that one who is puffed up by material acquisitions cannot acquire the gentle behavior befitting a brahmana. That's the problem we mentioned before. So we say, we step out of the fire of that dynamic preaching mission, but we step into the fire of, acquiring material acquisitions. So it's just a matter of which fire you're going to be in. You know, samsara dava nala lila loka, or in the fire of devotional service. You take your pick. Fire will be there. It's just you can choose which one you prefer. The learning of such a person is as good as a valuable jewel decorating the hood of a serpent. Despite the valuable jewel on the hood, a serpent is still a serpent and is as fearful as an ordinary serpent. Right? Means ordinary serpent bites you, you die. The one with the jewel on its head, it bites you, you die. So it's not that the jewel now it makes it so much better. If a person does not become meek and humble, all his studies of the Vedas and Puranas and his vast knowledge of the Shastras are simply outward dress. Like the costume of a theatrical artist dancing on the stage. Lord Balaram considered, I have appeared in order to chastise false persons who are internally impure but externally pose themselves as very learned and religious. My killing of such persons is proper, to check them from further sinful activity. Otherwise, they'll just keep on going and like this. So that's the whole thing. That's why then, as soon as pride comes up, that's when things go, right? It means there's the saying, pride comes before the fall, right? So, or the bigger you are, the harder they fall. That means bigger meaning the pride, not meaning your position. It means the pride. Right? Like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued, although Lord Balaram had stopped killing the impious, Romaharshana's death was inevitable. Thus, having spoken, the Lord killed him by picking up a blade of kusa grass and touching him with its tip. That's all. So it means, it's fitting. He's playing position of a Brahmin. So use kusa grass. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Lord Balaram avoided taking part in the battle of Kurukshetra, and yet because of his position as an incarnation, the establishment of religious principles was his prime duty. Considering these points, he killed Romaharshana Sutta simply by striking him with a kusa straw. Right? Because with a kusa straw, which was nothing but a blade of grass. If someone questions how Lord Balaram could kill Romaharshana Sutta simply by striking him with a blade of kusa grass, the answer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam by the use of the word Prabhu, Master. The Lord's position is always transcendental, and because he is omnipotent, he can act as he likes without being obliged to follow the material laws and principles. Thus it was possible for him to kill Romaharshana Sutta simply by striking him with a blade of kusa grass. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, he acted quickly because the sages might forbid killing Romaharshana, right? So he made the statement and all this and that and all the, they'll all be listening, yes, and this and that, and then immediately kill him because they'll go, so therefore I'm going to kill him now. No, he's good. Yeah, so. Even though Balaram had given up killing while he was on pilgrimage, he killed him since his death was in... Oh, we're not there. Yeah, we are?
Yes.
Okay. He killed him with a piece of kusa that he held in his hand while he acted as a brahmachari while going on pilgrimage. How could touching him with the tip of a kusa grass kill him? Balaram was capable of everything. Prabhu. Because otherwise, pick up kusa grass. You don't even have to get close. Kusa grass is quite long. Kusa grass, and then, so you don't have to walk right over to him, make faces at him, like that. You just have the grass and you touch him.
It's a bit inauspicious to start with pilgrims like that.
Getting rid of the impious, yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, all the sages cried out, alas, alas, in great distress. They told Lord Sankarsana, O Master, you have committed an irreligious act. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, in distress, the sages cried out, not in anger, but with politeness. Yep. Because the point is, it's on religious principles, so they're simply on religious principles discussing it. O Lord of all beings, Prabhu, you have committed a dharma, but this is because you are the second member of Swayam Bhagavan's Chaturvyuha, Sankarsana, and worshipped by all, Devam. The real meaning of their words is, you have done something beyond which there is no dharma. A dharma, it is the highest dharma. So it's beyond dharma. His establishing of the transcendental position and all that, that's beyond dharma. Because dharma is to establish that things work nicely in this world. And then, so beyond that, in this case, how they're using the term adharma, that means the transcendental position. Just like asat doesn't mean it's nothingness, it means it's not material. So in this case, adharma is being used to be not material dharma, but transcendental. The sages continued, O favorite of the Yadus, we gave him the seat of the spiritual master and promised him long life and freedom from physical pain for as long as the sacrifice continues. You have unknowingly killed a Brahmin. Of course, even the injunctions of revealed scriptures cannot dictate to you, the Lord of all mystic power. But if by your own free will, you nonetheless carry out the prescribed... purification for the slaying of a Brahmin, O purifier of the whole world. People in general will greatly benefit by your example. So he being who establishes Dharma, then if he sets the example, then it works very well. But he's beyond. So it'd just be a setting of examples. So that way, because otherwise people may say, I'm beyond Dharma. No, Balaram's beyond Dharma. But you see is that he is based on Dharma, and he follows Dharma as the conclusion of that. The personality of Godhead said, I will certainly perform the atonement for this killing, since I wish to show compassion to the people in general. Please therefore prescribe for me whatever ritual is to be done first. O sages, just say the word, and by my mystic power I shall restore everything you promised him. Long life, strength, and century power. The sages said, please see to it, O Rama, that your power and that of your Kushaweshwan, as well as your promise, and Romaharshana's death all remain intact. So now they've given something for only that the Lord can do. Right? So it's that, it means, they've given the benediction that all these things, how you say? Long life, strength, and century power will be there. But at the same time is that he is establishing Dharma. And that Romaharshana has behaved badly and has been killed. And it has been done by a Kusa, you know, blade. Yeah, the Kusa weapon. So they're saying that, you know, because he's the Supreme Lord, he can hold all that together. That's the whole point. The Lord, everything, all contradictions resolve themselves in the Lord. So, Srila Jiva Goswami comments, arrange things that so your weapon and your prowess remain intact, since they belong to you. His death should remain, since it was arranged by you, the Lord. And the truth of our words concerning the performance of a sacrifice should remain intact, since it is related to you, right? So it wasn't a mundane thing. If it was mundane, then it's over. But it was about serving the Lord. By this, you will perfect your position as the giver of pleasure to all beings, Rama. Right? Because then everybody will be satisfied in all the levels. The Supreme Lord said, the Vedas instruct us that one's own self takes birth again as one's son. Thus let Romaharshana's son become the speaker of the Puranas, and let him be endowed with long life, strong senses, and stamina. The BBT purport states, Srila Sridhar Swami quotes the following Vedic verse to illustrate the principle enunciated here by Lord Balaram. You have taken birth from my various limbs and have arisen from my heart, my very heart. You are my own self in the form of my son. May you live through 100 autumns. This verse appears in the Saptapada Brahmana 14.9.8.4 and the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 6.4.8. Right. Yeah, so this is then the example where it's stated. I mean, Manu mentions it, but then here's the practical application. Lord Balaram continued, "Please tell me your desire, O best of sages, and I shall certainly fulfill it. And, O wise souls, please carefully determine my proper atonement, since I do not know what it might be." Right, so therefore, then his position that he's killed Rama Harshana, that his position and prowess stays intact, his words, his establishment of Dharma, but their words stayed intact by that benediction being transferred to his son, or given to his son. And so now he says, okay, so what to do? What's the atonement? Okay. Footnote 26. Balaram pretends he is ignorant since he plays the part of a human being in these pastimes. Actually, he has no fault in killing Rama Harshana. Srila Jiva Goswami. There's no fault, and he knows all Dharma because he's the source of the Dharma. Yes. His breathing is the Vedas. So he's just playing that as a role. Like that. The difference is he knows what he's doing, and Rama Harshana didn't, even though technically was a proper actor, he didn't behave well with the director and the producer. So, yeah.
I think he gets some benefit from our son, killed by the Lord.
Yeah, no, that's there. You see, is there the whole pastime, because now he has a reason for being out on pilgrimage. He said he was going to go, but now he has one.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so he's established now the proper speaking of the scriptures and everything like that.
Is it mentioned anywhere where this kind of a chance to go off and live in his body?
I haven't heard. I haven't come across. Come across? No, I haven't heard. But I would expect he'll be liberated. He's killed by Balaram. So. That I don't know, but he'll be liberated. And then if there's anything for remembering all the Shastras and remembering the Lord, then at one point then he'll probably go to Vaikuntha. But the sage just said, "A fearsome demon named Balvala, the son of Ilvala, comes here every new moon day and contaminates our sacrifice. O descendant of Dasarha, please kill that sinful demon who pours down pus, blood, feces, urine, wine, and meat upon us. This is the best service you can do for us. Therefore, thereafter, for 12 months, you should circumambulate the land of Bharata in a mood of serious meditation, executing austerities and bathe at various holy pilgrimage sites. In this way, you will become purified." In actuality, by him going around all the holy places, they become purified and recharged. So you're establishing Ugra Shavasutta, and so then we see that Bhagavatam can be spoken. You've established the position that you can't, just because you have the knowledge and all that, that's the point. You have to have the character. Then he's going to remove this demon that gives them so much trouble, and he's going to purify all the places of holy places of pilgrimage. Conclusion. The highest religious principle is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you can quote this one.
Yes.
When a person is seated on the Vyasasana, he does not generally have to stand to receive a particular person entering the assembly. But in this case, the situation was different because Lord Balaram is not an ordinary human being. He may be playing the role, but still you have to know who he is. Therefore, although Rama Harshana Sutta was voted to the Vyasasana by all the brahmanas, he should have followed the behavior of the other learned brahmanas and brahmanas present, and should have known that Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So the brahmanas themselves, then they voted him into the position. That means they felt he was qualified. And so then what's the value of it unless they're qualified? Right? And so because of their qualification, then he has his position. Now they, as qualified persons, to elect him to a qualified position. Then they, when Balaram came, they stood up and received Balaram. Why wouldn't he do the same? Because his authority actually comes from them.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Respects are always due him. He's Balaram. Even though such respects can be avoided in the case of an ordinary man. It means ordinary person comes into the assembly to hear the class, sits down, you don't have to stand up. The appearance of Krishna and Balaram is especially meant for a reestablishment of the religious principles. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the highest religious principle is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, a person who is actually a Brahmana and is very learned must automatically become very gentle also. But although Romaharshana Sutta was very learned and had given the chance to become a Brahmana, he had not become gentle, right? So this idea that before devotees were, you know, very, how you say, enthusiastic, but at the same time they were, you know, not so cultured. And now we're so therefore we need to develop culture. And so now we're cultured and do all these things. So we drink our tea with our little fingers sticking out, or whatever it is that we consider as the up-to-date reason for us being cultured. But the problem is if you've lost that Krishna conscious drive, that missionary spirit in the process, then what has been gained? That's the whole point. So this whole thing is, no, it's better now because of this, is it? Point is, you're supposed to have both. So that means then ours is either coming from, we already have the karma, and so we're a little bit more cultured by nature. Because generally those who are a little more cultured, or tend to be, they're the ones that make this point. The rough and ready never bring this up. Right? But at the same time, is that we're trying to apply that onto Krishna consciousness, and we're saying that makes a good part of the position of Krishna consciousness. That is pretension. That's an illusion. So yes, before they may have been very rough and ready, but they were fully surrendered to the Lord. It was fully transcendental. And so now we may have this mundane, veneer of qualities that have come from our previous samskars, or from our present day reading some books. But if we didn't have the samskars, we wouldn't be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Because the process they're saying to develop these is not by chanting Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's by seminars and studies and, you know, certain techniques that are given by these, self-help acharyas. And so then from that, we're going to develop all these good qualities. Mm-hmm. You know, and then therefore then devotional service will become great again. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nowadays we've noticed some phenomena that a different class of people actually join Krishna consciousness, as you described. So the previous generation finds it very difficult to connect. And now generation, if before it was 20, 25 years, now it's 7, 8 years. That's the gap. So how can we, on a pure level of Krishna consciousness, we're obviously connected. But in terms of culture, as you described now, it's a huge gap.
Oh, it's because now it's all based on technology. It means before people grew up, you know, reading books, actually sitting with people, you know, being able to have a 3-hour conversation without any disturbance of, you know, 10 million things happening on your phone, you know, stuff like that. You did not have to take a picture of what you're eating and send it out for everybody. You could just sit down and enjoy your meal. So yes, there's a great difference in just the experience and all the background. But the point is here nowadays is it gentleness or is it weakness? Is it that people nowadays don't have that fire because they're more cultured, or is it because they're more weak? It'll be presented that it's more cultured, but who's presenting it? Generally older people who have that concept. The younger people aren't saying that. So therefore, too much drive, too much that, freaks people out who are weak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be a difference there. You know, why isn't there that drive, and then why is there that drive? You know? So the point is by chanting, it'll resolve all these problems. Because it's just a matter of time before, you know, these millennials will be the old fogies, you know. And the young kids is kind of like, you call, you know, they'll be laughing at what we call technology. You know, they'll be laughing how we called it a smartphone, you know, like that. It doesn't even wash dishes and you call it smart? You know, it's like, wow, you know, what's with these guys? You know. So the difficulty comes down is that on the mundane platform, because of the modes, things change. And you see that there'll be kind of a mood going for a time, and then it changes. Like, whatever mood, there was a mood there before, and then you see after World War II, it changed. Because the concept of royalty and nobility being kind of the head of society disappeared. Then it was just who was strong and this and that. You know, there still had some of the old, those flavors, because people grew up, and that went. And then in the 50s, after the, you know, the Second Great War, then it changed again. And it was just about sense gratification and this and that. And then it just keeps going. So as you go, then you just have these different that's why they label them. And they can even tell you what their character is. You know, every, you know, baby boomers have this, Generation X this, the millennials this. And as a general kind of thing, it applies. You know, individuals are specific. But it's just that the modes are different. And so therefore the effect is different. So the only way to resolve this, because it's not just now, it was before was there, and in the future it'll be the same. So the only way is through the devotional process. That's the only common thing. So the platform of the soul, that's the only common point. And so the devotional process is the common thing. And then the lifestyle for someone following the devotional process, that's the Vedic. Because if you try to use a modern one, it's always going to not match with someone else's. Mm-hmm. Like someone who's talking about just being relaxed and being, you know, high class and but relaxed and all that, showed up at the temple in France in a polo shirt and shorts to give the class. They didn't want to let him in the temple. Because in France, that's considered uncultured. It's low class. You know, you can't even get in a restaurant dressed like that. But this person, by where they're from, they thought that this was very cultured and high-end. You know, relaxed. But, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole problem is that whatever in one culture is considered good, in another culture it's considered not nice. You know? Does that make sense? So each culture will be like that. Each culture has a problem with another culture. And then within their culture, they'll have a problem. Generally north, south, you know, mountains, plains. You know, there's going to be something. You know, those that are too close to the other border, so they're too much like those guys. You know?
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, he uses the cultural revolution.
Yes.
So revolution is something aggressive. Culture is something gentle, but we don't know how to match those two principles.
Yes, but that's why only through the devotional process and then using the recommendations of the character and behavior and duties given by the Shastra, then that will take place. Because the cultural revolution means a revolution in the heart of the individual, a change in their consciousness from material to spiritual. And from doing things to please ourselves to please Krishna. That's the revolution. Because that's the most dynamic. Because people just change who's there. Then, you know, so, you know, the czar shoots people and then the next guys come in and they shoot people. What's the difference? You know?
Well, the czar made it, you know, culture.
Yeah, I mean, he wore nice clothes when he shot the people, while the other guys, then they looked like they were off the street, because they were. You know, that's the thing. It's all the same. It's not a change. We call it a change, but it's not. It's just from one extreme to another. So the cultural revolution is not conservative liberal. It's broad-minded. It's the devotional path. That's the cultural change. Because otherwise, it just goes back and forth from liberals to the conservatives like that. Because the conservatives, it'll be a nice environment, but it won't actually progress. And it'll get so individually centered that no one can function. You can't get anything done. So just to be practical, you have to go conservative to actually get anything done. But then they'll become so efficient that now they'll forget the individual again. So as long as there's some importance on the individual while you apply the conservativeness, it will have some value and people will see it. But then once that individuality kind of disappears and it's just the machinery and the efficiency and the law, the tradition, and then it gets dry and then people then start to go the other way. Because then you have to bring out the individual. So as long as it's a little bit coming out, but they're still functioning on those conservative, kind of like a work ethic, it'll still work. But as soon as that work ethic disappears, it all falls apart again. It has to go the other way. So it'll just do that. You look in history, that's all it's doing is going back and forth. You know, because otherwise it was so great that they didn't like Louis, then why did we get Napoleon? In other words, they're saying, oh, the Tsar is so strong and this and that, we need something, more broad. And then you get Stalin. He was less strong than the Tsar. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's the point is if you look at all these things, it just gets weird. So that's the whole point. It's just the material world. It's the modes of nature. It's how it's designed. So the only way to counter that is the cultural revolution of Krishna consciousness, everyone practicing Krishna consciousness. And the Vedic standard is the standards by which then you can have a lifestyle that on its own functions very nicely, or if you still want to apply it into your particular contemporary environment, you can do it as long as you use the Vedic principle to view it. Then the secondary of the local, custom or food or dress or whatever it is will work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then as you get purified, then you'll see, does it still have any value or would you rather just use the original? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like those guys in Venice from Ethiopia that put down a rug and they've got all the latest Louis Vuitton and Gucci bags, for $100. They work. But then it's just a matter of in time. Is that the way you want to present yourself? You want to keep going on to people. It means at some point, as you move up in society, people do know the difference. So when you're still down with your buddies, then it's great. You know that costs $100, and it looks better than the bag I bought for $100. So it's good. But as you become purified. And that, then in that purified society, then hanging on to these secondary elements from our previous life, it starts to stand out. It doesn't have the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just natural you would adjust it. You would become more refined. So then you'll see in the external the change. So first you'll see is in the spiritual. Then you'll see in these metaphysical and these kind of things like that. Then you'll see in the external. But the process is you hear about that and you try to start practicing from the external. But we're saying for those who are unwilling to do that, they're unwilling to, as part of the process, try to follow the Vedic culture in this form. By following the Krishna conscious and the mood and the principles that are given by the Vedic and apply it in their own position, they'll get purified and eventually it will also then progress. Does that make sense? So the process works. So you don't need a separate society to do this. What's been given by, Krishna, the Lord Brahma, a long time ago, it still works today. All the acharyas use it. Everybody uses it. It's not that, you don't need a separate mission to do that. It's not a separate philosophy, a separate approach. It's the same thing. You just have to, if you know the bigger picture, you know the smaller picture. But if you don't know the bigger and only know the smaller, then it seems bigger than it is. Mm-hmm. Like that. So,
you use that word self-help acharya, what's that?
self-help acharya. It was a joke. We were saying about acharyas, because acharyas then, you know, means the great leaders in an area. All the gurus of the self-help books. You heard of self-help books? Self-help success books.
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, but then you had to bring in an eighth because the seventh didn't quite cut it, you know, and that. And publishers are debating whether people are going to go for a ninth, or they're kind of over that and would rather buy another book. Now you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
In the beginning of your explanation, you mentioned about, you know,
weak
people and strong people.
Yeah.
So can you please, this explanation was obviously connected to the point. So can you please give a short definition of
weak and strong? So weak and strong here, how we're using it, means that the ability to, I say, focus on something, commit to something, control the senses, consider others, adjust yourself within a greater environment by your particular position in that, rather than using these impersonal of everybody can do everything and there's no restriction and all these. Yeah, in other words, they're so weak that they can't control themselves, but they'll make a philosophy to make it sound like it's, you know, some universal truth and therefore fabulous. But the point is you know, it's that, can they not look at their phone? That's the point. Yeah, you can say as no, it's important, this and that, so they're making the choice, but they're not making a choice. It's emotes in nature. So you can say as, oh, but then so many people, they didn't, but how much that they did? Okay, the guy distributed books in a fabulous way, you know, more books than anybody for 10 years and did all that, and how austere and how he lived and always living in a bus and traveling, and then he fell down. So you can say, see, he fell down. He didn't control his senses. What about the 10 years there? You know? That means, is the person complaining, can he do that? If he's the guy that's been in the bus for 12 years, we'll listen. You know? Because he'll say, yeah, but he was doing this and that, and so we knew it was coming, but, you know, by Krishna's grace, he got 10 years in. We thought he would only last 5, but, you know, he did 10. So we'll listen to them speaking, but the guy who hasn't done it, that was Prabhupada's position. It says, everybody will make a comment about the temple president. Everybody will do it. But Prabhupada's point was, unless you can manage the temple, you're not in a position to make a comment. You can say, I'm uncomfortable, this is a problem, and you give that information to someone who can take care of it. But you don't come up, pontificate, and say, this should be done, that should be done, and all that. Because, I mean, that's, we're thinking is that I'm special because I can do that. But technically speaking, every pub in the world, that's what goes on by the regulars who go there. They simply are, you know, they're watching on sports and telling them what they should have done. Yeah. You know, like that. You know, it's like that. What the politicians should have done, what the police should have done. You know, and, you know, whatever comes on the TV, they got an opinion. Right? And they can talk for hours about it. You know, don't get me going on that one. You know, like that. You know, so they go. So that thing is just so common. But it's being taken as, no, this is special. No, this is just as ordinary as it gets. So that's the thing is, yes, problems are there, but look what they did. You know, Caesar had a problem, but look what he did. People are still talking about him. You know? So that's the thing, is that something's done and then there's a problem. But other people, it's just problems. There's nothing done. You know, so therefore, then, you know, that's, you have to see there's a difference. So now, on the material platform, it'll always be like that. But on the spiritual platform, making that endeavor to try to do, and with Krishna consciousness, then you get somewhere. And that 10 years of his book distribution will never be lost. You know, but the problem is our complaining about that guy doing the 10 years, then that will also remain. You know, and that will affect our creature. So we have to be very careful to see that the solution is devotional service. Not that there's not a problem. And not that they're not intelligent in seeing the problem. But are they seeing it in relationship to the devotional process, and what's the real solution? Because the only real solution is good association, you know, and hearing and chanting about the Lord. That's the only solution. You know, throw in worship the deity, living in the Dham, but that's it. That these are the only solutions. When we think there's some managerial or economic or social solutions, then that's foolishness. I mean, absolute foolishness. It doesn't mean that these aren't used. And then they'll say, oh, so you don't want to, you know, any of these nice things. You don't believe in mirror. No, unless it's used for Krishna. It's a waste of time. So it's not that morality will make Krishna consciousness better. Krishna consciousness will make us more moral. But, you know, but as we value it, then we'll accept it.
Basically, Krishna consciousness, is, you know, for example, some person thinks that practice Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, it doesn't make the person more moral. You know, probably some adjustments should be made to the understanding of the process.
Understanding or time, because you never know how much volume of sin is there. Like Roma Harshana Sutta, how elevated he was, but this mistake is made because of an ancient offense. So in his heart, that pride and all that was there, and because of that pride, he's disqualified. Therefore, he takes birth as a Sutta, and then he has the material karma of the material qualifications of knowledge and ability to speak and train, and that goes. But then we see is that when it comes to this position, then, you know, he fails again.
So in the sense of, you know, looking at others, yes, it's like this, but what in the sense of applying to ourselves?
Yes, yes. Because the point is if we can apply it to ourselves, then you can help others. In other words, you can point out their fault and show them how they can correct it. But if all you can do is point out the fault, that you know, any old grant, go outside the front gate. Talk to a rickshaw wallet. Talk to those guys across the street selling those big monster puris and that. What do they call those things? I don't know. It's like, you know, like that. You know, and ask them, you know, what do you think of this con? You know, how can we improve this con? A guy could talk for probably weeks. You know, like that. So that's the point, is that anybody can make a comment. You know, it's just like you go to the common man on the street. What do you think we could do to improve the church? Oh, they could go on for hours. What about the government? Or, you know, does that make sense? You know, it's just any topic you bring up, they got an opinion. So that's the point, but they can't correct anything.
This is the weakness.
That's the weakness. It's there. They don't have the character. So the weakness is a lack of character. So from that, they're not so proud because they're not in the positions, but put them in the positions. It's just like before. Okay, it was called being in the closet, right? Then you came out of the closet. It means you had to be able to put up with hell. And because of that, people shouldn't behave badly and all this and that. So then it finally gets established that they can behave nicely. Now they'll harass the people that, you know, others. It's just like this. If you got a whole bunch of guys from, you know, white guys from Georgia to go marching down the street saying, we're heterosexual, how would that go down globally? Every media would bash it. But the guys are gay and walk down the street and go, we're gay, and everyone will glorify it. So it's just a matter of time before the heterosexuals will be in the closet. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is it's just, that's what we were talking about before, about this going either way. So whichever you take, it just goes the other way. You take it that you know, the czar with his father, between the two of them, the amount of people died in the wars that they waged, 7 million people died. That's over two generations. Stalin himself is credited with 30 million. Right? And that's one generation. One.
I think this is excluding Second World War.
Yeah, and it's also excluding kind of the more stuff that's in files that people don't know about. Some say it can be as high as 70 million. Like that. But 30 is the official. You know? So the thing is it's worse. You know, the people that died of starvation with Louis were less than the people that died in the guillotine with Robespierre. It's just like that. It's always like that. Is that this whole thing is that it's there, but when they get into the power, they're worse. Why? Because they don't have the character. See, the czar, there's some character and culture. He may be a rat bag, but he's got some culture. But, you know, Lenin and all these guys, they don't have that culture. And then, you know, our man from Georgia, he has even less. So that's the thing, it just goes down. So that's the whole point, is that the Cultural Revolution means you take it the other way. The only thing can do that is either you have to wait for the modes of nature, and if you wait another, 432,000 years, then we'll see the character will come back by the swing of the modes of nature. But otherwise, then the devotional process, that itself will do it for 10,000 years, we'll see a golden age. But one has to be convinced of that. Then you can see, okay, how to apply it. Okay, what was too much? What was Krishna conscious enthusiasm but lack of character? And so we adjust the character, not the enthusiasm. But here, to get at the character, we go for the enthusiasm. I've heard this, I mean, in the last couple of months, I've heard this from so many quarters. It seems to be a new discussion, you know, kind of popular discussion. You know, how you say trending. A trending discussion that, you know, before they're like this, but now it's so much better. We're so much more cultured and refined and so much this and that. And so they're attacking that dynamic pioneer spirit that was there before. But everything started with that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's the difficulty, is that unless we see it from the Krishna conscious perspective as given by the acharyas, we actually won't see it in the proper light, and it'll just be political, you know, like that. We'll make a philosophy, but it'll still be political or economic. It's temporary. So this is the only real solution, the long term. And because it is character, that takes time. It can be done in a moment, as we see like Magrari the hunter. But it also can take time. It just depends on our surrender, which is also then a point of, do we have to surrender? You know, if we're just cultured and not surrendered, aren't we great? You know, do we have to surrender? Isn't that fanatic? Because by surrendering being fanatic, then that lacks culture, so therefore we want to avoid the surrender. So the roughness that was there was due to their surrender. So therefore, if we remove the surrender, then we can be all nice and cultured and gentle and everything like that. Yeah. Yeah. I think in Bengali they call that Maniputu. You know? No Bengali?
Cream doll.
Huh?
Cream doll.
Whipped cream doll. You know? Looks really great, but not so much substance. Okay. So I guess we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.